So my name's Jerry Blackford. I'm working at Plymouth Marine Laboratory and I lead the UKOA Regional Modelling Programme. It's called ROME for short. Its full title is Regional Ecosystem and Biogeochemical Impacts of Ocean Acidification, a Modelling Study. It has a couple of key aims. Firstly, to improve the forecasts of CO2 related variables such as pH and saturation state and other parts of the carbonate system for regional seas, and also other climate affected variables like temperature and oxygen. And then it's asking a question: will the ability of the regional systems to cycle carbon and nutrients change, and will the productivity of these regions change in the future? We're looking at two regions, the Northwest European Shelf, and that includes the marine systems around the UK, so the North Sea, the Celtic Sea, the Channel and the Irish Sea, and also the Arctic. We're working with NOC, National Oceanography Centre at Liverpool and Southampton. The colleagues at Liverpool are in particularly experts on hydrodynamic models, so that's the physics of water movement, and they are also trying to refine the fine-scale modelling of Arctic shelf seas. And our colleagues at Southampton are looking at pan-Arctic models, so that's the whole of the Arctic system, and in the context of a global system as well. So we're not just interested in ocean acidification, it's very important to stress that. We're also very interested in temperature changes and the effects that these may have. So we're looking at the way the physics of the system changes. Does the sea get more stratified or less stratified? Does this affect the supply of nutrients for productivity? And also, do temperature changes affect the rate at which key processes work? We are doing a whole range of modelling. We use some pretty complex biogeochemical and ecosystem models. We have one called Ursen and one called Medusa, and we use a hydrodynamic model called Nemo. You put these together, these are pretty complex, heavy-duty models. They need specialised computer clusters to run on, so the equivalent of 300 to 500 top-end desktop machines wired together. We also use national facilities, which are far larger than this. Just to give you an idea of the computational effort that's needed, some of the model runs, when we're doing 50-year forecasts, can take up to 6 months to complete. So we have a real issue of trying to get these models right before we spend huge amounts of time running them. The models we run are forced by global climate models. So we're taking the latest predictions of global climate and how the temperature in the atmosphere will change, and we're using these to force our regional scale models. So we're doing hindcasts, first of all. That means back prediction. So we're running the model from, say, about 1950 to the present day. And that gives us an opportunity to evaluate the model against observations that have been made over this period to see if we get the trends and the interannual variability right. And if we can do that, it gives us some confidence that the forecasts we will make have some realism. So we'll then do a range of forecasts with this latest generation of global climate predictions. Another thing that we're aiming to do is to improve the representation of Arctic physics. This is very complicated because of the meltwaters, the seasonal meltwaters induce some huge movements of water masses. But I think the biggest challenge we have is to include the range of chemical and biological responses to ocean acidification and temperature that have been shown to exist in some of our sister projects. Things that affect production rates, calcification rates, the coupling of the pelagic and benthic systems. And this is a challenge because the results from experiments have been extremely variable. We don't have many absolutely clear responses that we can put in the model with certainty. But we do have an advantage. It's becoming clear that some of these responses depend very much on the resources that are available to the animal or the plants in question. And our model systems can actually predict the resource availability. So we can try and put all of these together and make some idea of what could happen in the future. We're about 2 years into the project at the moment. We still haven't done many of the runs looking at the changes to processes, but we have done quite a few runs that are trying to predict how the dynamics of ocean acidification and temperature change will change. These model results are always preliminary. There's no such thing as the perfect model. But our key finding to date is just how dynamic and how heterogeneous the system is. We started this work about 10 years ago with a paradigm that pH is constant, and that mean pH is an indicator of change, and I think we can blow that out of the water. We've shown, for example, in the North Sea that you can get ranges of pH of up to 1 unit over the annual cycle, that these are hugely affected by inputs from riverine systems, both the chemistry from the rivers and the nutrient supply from the rivers that encourages biological responses, and the physics of the system as well imparts some really huge changes. So it's not about really the mean pH, it's about the windows of opportunity that may be retained in the future. So for how long will the system be oversaturated or undersaturated? For how long will the system have a pH that is harmful as opposed to not harmful? And these are the kind of findings that we're beginning to show. What does it mean? What's the relevance? I think, firstly, that the Arctic system is fundamental to global ocean dynamics. It's a very big driver of the North Atlantic circulation, and it's very important to work out what will happen with that in the future. It's also a system that is vulnerable to ocean acidification much sooner than other systems because of the temperature and the chemical implications. So in some senses, it's an example of what could happen in the future. The Northwest European Shelf, the waters around the UK, I mean, these are fundamental to the European economy. It's not just fishing or recreational use, but there are lots of invisible services, such as transporting CO2 from the terrestrial system off the shelf into deep waters and remediating pollution and waste. So the real concern is if we undermine the fundamental biogeochemical cycling of the system, where will this leave us in the future, and what are the risks that we might do that? So models never give precise answers, but they do allow us to test hypotheses of what may happen, and they do give us a way of putting all our knowledge together and deriving an indication of risk of future problems.